step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more. Breathe in, breathe out. Never mind. It was time. Number nine. Let my lies. Feline. With a death wish. Be right. Didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on. I'm destined.
There's going to be a lot of people trying to figure out The Rock's problems after last night's embarrassing second half offensively that led to the 192 loss to the Lakers. Maybe some people think they've already figured it out. Get Ime out of here and everything will be fine. I think I figured it out in a less dramatic fashion. Stay off national TV. That is, I believe, five straight losses when they've been on some form of national TV. Now, of course, you can watch games on Space City Home Network. But when one of the national carriers has the Rockets, I think that's five in a row. They lost to the Heat on Saturday. I believe that was a prime game. They lost to Golden State. That was another national TV game. San Antonio, embarrassed on national TV. Denver, embarrassed on national TV. And now the Lakers lost on national TV. That's five in a row for your Houston Rockets. They're doing a great job embarrassing us where the whole world is watching, at least the basketball world is watching. 192 the final last night. Do we have anyone who can dribble a basketball? Now, we talk about a lack of point guard and that being an issue for this team, and apparently it will continue to be until that is corrected one way or another, whether it's Fred miraculously coming back late in the year or just next season. But the Kevin Durant handling the basketball things is wearing on Kevin Durant. Forget about what it was last night. You can see it's kind of taking a toll. It's exhausting to be the guy who always has to be the primary ball handler, the initiator, and also the scorer. You're going to hear a quote from Kevin Durant we'll play where he kind of lays out what he is to this offense. We heard James Harden call himself the system. Well, now we've got a quote very similar. We'll hear from Kevin Durant. It got so bad that even seeing a double team forced a backcourt violation. We know the Rockets don't play at a great pace, so Kevin Durant bringing the ball up the court also had an 8-second count. It got more and more embarrassing. Tar Eason, very late in the game, had an inbound stolen from the guy guarding the inbounds. He tried to get the ball in and now it's not actually legal to take a ball right out of a guy's hand on an inbound, but he let go of it, and Austin Reeves stole it from him. Austin Reeves was guarding Tar Eason as he tried to get the ball in. It was a comedy of error, so much so that a group chat that isn't really active was active involving me and a couple other guys. It's a group chat per se, but it's not something that is day by day. We're texting every couple hours. The Rockets brought it on because of how bad they were and how embarrassing they were. It was a rough night. And if you had some Kevin Durant slander, last night was your night. I saw people piling on. I saw a retweet of someone calling him 6'11 Cam Thomas. That was tough. I don't buy it, but it was tough where you can get that off on a night and someone decides, hey, I'm going to retweet this because it fits for the night. He was not official with the basketball. He did take responsibility for his part in the loss. But all around, no answers to be had for a simple double team. And these are the things that when the playoffs come and when teams actually game plan for you, brings Ime Udoka's acumen into question. Will he have answers for his team being thrown when junk defenses are thrown at his team? Look, a double team, getting the ball out of your best player's hands isn't crazy. It happens all the time. You don't see it that much in the regular season. J.J. Redick sprung that on him, partly because Albert Sengun wasn't there. Albert Sengun can be your hub, can be a playmaker. If you put two on the ball, you can bring Alperen above the arc, and he can make a player too. You saw it happen once where I think it was Dorian Finney-Smith flashed when Kevin Durant was trapped near half court. He flashed above the arc. He got the ball on the center floor. He got a dunk for Jabari Smith, I believe, which Jabari May was Amen. But that was few and far between as the Rockets were completely befuddled by a simple double team of your best player. I saw a lot of people mention, and it's right too, that the Rockets don't have any guys who can take advantage in a one-on-one situation or in a switch. Like, if you get a switch on what you think is a compromised defender, how many Rockets have a tight enough handle to make a play? Like, we see a couple times a game where Amen's handle's a little loose. Reed Shepard doesn't have a great handle. And Kevin Durant has a good handle for a 6'11 guy. But there are times where he'll dribble into trouble. And, of course, his great superpower is rising up at 6'11 for a mid-range jumper. That kind of mitigates some of that. But at times, even that doesn't save you. So whether it's J.J. Redick in a first-round series or Chris Finch or Adelman, whoever it is that the Rockets face in a first-round series, you can bet that the way they handled last night is going to be on the film and someone is going to spring that on them in a game, in a critical playoff game. And will they have an answer for it? And as I said, that brings Ime Udoka's acumen into question. Will he have his team properly prepared for the newfound way of defending a good player, putting two people on the ball? Unexpected, I guess, last night. Didn't have an answer for it. And you saw the result. An atrocious second half where I believe the Rockets committed 17 turnovers, scored in that second half, scored 12 points in the fourth quarter, and lose to a Laker team who, by the way, we get to do this all again on Wednesday. We get to do this all again tomorrow on national TV. If I go by recent trends, I guess I can expect the Rockets loss because they don't fare well. They're out here embarrassing us. We got some guy. I think he might work for the Ringer. I don't know, Raheem Palmer. He got after Kevin Durant and pretty much said, this is who he is without a all-star level point guard or Steph Curry. If he has to be a primary ball handler, these are the things you see. He seemed like not a big fan of Kevin Durant, period. But the knives are out, and the Rockets deserved it from the local media and from the national media. You're playing a Lakers team who is playing well, but it's not like they were ripping it up offensively. Luka got off to a hot start, but that slowed down, and they only scored 100 points themselves. They scored 17 points in the fourth quarter, but their defense somehow, some way, was the deciding factor. Luka finished with 36. Your Rockets' leading scorer was Jabari. He didn't shoot the ball well from three, but overall had a good night shooting 22 points, and Amen was your second leading scorer with 19, but not enough, and we'll hear from the guy who committed 7 turnovers and played really poorly in the second half, Kevin Durant here. Here's Kevin Durant with a quote that is kind of damning of this Rockets team. With all this talent on the roster, Kevin Durant has kind of sussed out what it is when it comes to offense for this team.
Why do you think you guys struggled so much with what they were throwing at you defensively in the fourth quarter?
You say, why do you think we what?
Why do you think, like, why weren't you guys able to handle what they were throwing at you in the fourth quarter?
I mean, I just feel like we didn't make shots. I mean, we 5 for 26 from the three, and that usually helps when team a W at half court, you swing, make threes. But I missed two wide open threes when we were up to 1 point. I could have pushed us up four. I just feel like I lost the game for us tonight. That simple. I mean, my teammates could I mean, of course, we probably can make more threes, but it's all on me. I mean, to be honest, I'm the offense, and the opposing team is going to use all their resources and not let me get comfortable. First half, I got comfortable in ISO, comfortable coming off of pin downs, pick and rolls, and they decided not to let me get comfortable no more. So I got to be smarter, better with the ball. I got to be maybe shoot over some of them double teams, but like I said, space out, be ready to catch and shoot, be ready to be a screener, just be in a dunker spot, just being able to be there as a resource for my teammates to provide space, and I didn't need to have the ball as much as I did tonight.
I'm the offense. James Harden once said, I'm the system, in a way to compliment himself, to talk about how good he is or how great he is as a player. I don't think Kevin Durant came here to be the offense. You heard him talk before the year and throughout the year. He came here to be certainly a big part of it, but I don't think he foresaw a situation where he had to take on this much responsibility. And we've talked about it quite a bit, where beyond the minutes that he has to play to keep this team afloat offensively, the fact that everything goes through him, we didn't foresee that. We thought because of his reputation as being one of the more malleable superstars, and what I mean by that is you can throw him in any system, he'll find his way. Whether it be the motion stuff with Golden State or even some of the more ISO stuff with Brooklyn when they had guys who could beat other guys off the dribble, well, when they were healthy, at least James Harden, Kyrie Irving. You had Devin Booker in Phoenix that didn't work as well. But you can plop him down in any spot and he'll find a way to go get you 25 on efficient shooting and be a key part of a team. The Rockets, because of their limitations, are asking more of him. And when you have a defense positioning themselves to take away at Kevin Durant, you get a night like last night. 92 points, limited opportunities. And you heard him say, maybe I just got to shoot over double teams more. Maybe I have to get off the ball. There was none of that last night. No in-game adjustments to take some of the pressure off of Kevin Durant. He took it on. It didn't work out. And you drop a game to the Lakers. And now you get to see him again tomorrow. On ESPN, so there will be I don't know if Inside the NBA will be doing the game, but either we'll get them, particularly if it's a bad performance, ripping the Rockets, or maybe Perk will have more words for the Rockets if things go poorly. It'll be a Lakers broadcast. That's what we know, either way. But the Rockets will get their 5 minutes if they are particularly poor in the game. Man, it was elementary stuff. I'm like I said, the group chat couldn't believe that went on last night.
This is where playing the Lakers again, like whatever, a night later, is like, okay, like I'm not asking for playoff level adjustments here. Like it's a playoff series. Could you get the ball over half court? Like routinely? Like, can we do that?
And here's the thing about, because of how, and of course in reference to the 8 second call, but how slowly they play, once the Lakers trap you at midcourt, now you have 8 seconds to operate because Kevin Durant was meandering beyond half court to get the ball up. And then once they trap you, he has to make an adjustment. And if he doesn't back himself into a backcourt violation, now he's got to find a way to get the ball out of his hands. You have very little time to run offense, even if it is 4-on-3 because the two guys are on him. The pace, the lack of a hub that you can get the ball to, all led to what was an awful second half. Yeah, to your point, I don't know that I need some overwhelming thing that rips the Lakers apart defensively, but the Lakers weren't doing something special.
They're just doubling.
They're just doubling your best player and asking other guys to find a way. And to Kevin Durant's point, they did not make shots. Tari Eason continues his, let's say, less than torrid pace shooting. He continues to not knock down threes, and I told you about Jabari not knocking down shots. Yeah, you put two on the ball, you force other guys to make shots, and the Rockets did not do that.
Yeah, and it's not even like the Lakers are doubling with like Marcus Smart and like just some other guy. You know, it's not like the OKC Thunder or the Spurs where there's defenders like coming out of the eyeballs. Like, it's like there's Marcus Smart who knows what he's doing, and then some guy, you know, Jake LaRavia, Rui Hachimura, like just some guys.
A bunch of dudes. Know, Austin a bunch of guys Reeves, out there, yeah.
Like, it's like guys that are fine. They're involving they're doing Luka. What they're coached.
Yeah. Just, hey, be in position and ask the Rockets to knock down shots. And the Rockets are like, no, we don't want
no,
to.
No, thank you.
Yeah, Reed Shepard 1-for-6. Jabari Smith
2 for 8, and Tari Eason 0 for 3. I mean, I saw the stats on Tari Eason in his recent shooting numbers. I got to go to the game logs and see the last time he made a 3. The last time he made a 3 was March 5th, where he went 1 for 5. He has made 1 3 in the month of March. Mm. 1 3. Mm. Against the Golden State Warriors in the game they lost, where he went 1 for 5.
I'm not thinking Rafael Stone has to worry about, like,
I saw people quoting that Dennis Schroeder graphic where the Lakers, like, offered him, I don't know, $80, $100 million, and he turned it down, and now then he signed a 1-year deal worth whatever.
He's just been on minimums for the rest of the
And they quoted Tari Eason. All right, Giant, look at you, the next fumbler of our big bag, Tari Eason, because the Rockets were apparently ready to offer him $100 million over however many years, whatever the number would have been, and he said, nope, want a bigger role. I will take my chances. I will bet on myself. Well, snake eyes for Tari Eason so far.
Good in the first half. Good in the first half of the season.
Yeah, shooting the basketball.
It actually would have been fine if he just flipped the order in which he...
Like, yeah, if he was awful in the first half and then turned
and
it on...
Incendiary, yeah.
Yeah, then he would have got a bag. Because
he was shooting like 60% from three at Christmas. Like, it was...
The first 2 months of the season, he was at over 50%, and then he dropped to, in the second month, as far as the shooting per month, I'm not saying he dropped completely under, but he was at 42 in the month of January, didn't play a lot of games. In the month of February, he was shooting nearly 47% from three, and then the month of January, 46, almost 47%. The month of February is when the problem started. Dropped to 31.6, and now March, he's a reverse Jalen Green, and he's shooting 4% from three. The reverse, oof.
1-3 in 17 days.
Yes, 1-3. He's made 1-3. Still taking 3 per game. So it's not.
Hey, shoot or shoot.
I mean, he was taking it at his when he was feeling really good about himself. When he got into the month of January and was feeling really good about himself, he took 4.7. And then he was like, I'm hot. So he upped to 5.2. February was not great. So he's now down to 4. So he's somewhat aware that things are going poorly. But he's still getting up 4 per game. Or excuse me, I will take that back. He dropped it to 3 per game because he was like, this isn't going well. I should stop shooting. But the ones he does take, not a chance. Not a chance. And that's where we are. Open guys not making shots. That combination led to the loss.
DFS made a shot.
Yeah. All of a sudden, Dorian Finney-Smith ain't so funny anymore when he's the only one making shots. You know what? Thanks. Appreciate it. At least you're shooting and making some. While the rest of the guys, the alleged sharpshooters, aren't making any. By the way, Kevin Durant 0 for 3 from 3 as well. He alluded to missing a couple in that game. It was a problem all game long. Can't believe the Lakers came in here and played shutdown defense by simply throwing a double team at Kevin Durant. And no answers for the Rockets. Maybe Alpi will be back on Wednesday. He's got a back issue, and that'll solve some of their problems because they'll have a playmaking guy they can put in the center of the floor, and he can make a pass or go get a bucket himself. Not that he's great dribbling the basketball either. They got a bunch of guys who can't dribble. Is that good? When the playoffs happen and teams ramp up the pressure, you got a bunch of guys who can't dribble the basketball? Yeah. Like, we thought Jabari was a guy we were worried about. I can add guys to the list. How many guys would you be comfortable with in a one-on-one situation where they got to go get a bucket by dribbling? Kevin Durant, if he's not double teamed.
Yeah, Durant. Maybe Reed.
Not with a good pressure defender. Not with a good point of attack defender. I don't feel great about it. Like in a pick and roll, Reed can get downhill a little bit. He had a dunk that everyone got excited about. Like, oh, can't believe Reed had it in him. I mean, his vertical at the combine was like over 41. So I knew he could dunk a basketball, everybody. It's that shooting thing that goes and comes depending on the moment, which I got a problem with. Keith, I see you. I imagine you'll talk about something not Rockets related. That's just your vibe. Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776. Rockets bad. Lost to a Lakers bad. Okay, we'll move on. We didn't get our all USA final. We'll talk about that. Jose Altuve, happy man. He was at the game, so he got to see his Venezuela team beat Italy, so it'll be a Venezuela, USA, WBC final down in Miami. So the WBC is happy. They'll get their Rockets environment. we'll see if Venezuela can take out the boys. That is tomorrow night, I believe, right? So we got a day before that happens. Keith, anyone else? You can join us when we get back.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
I don't rank NBA owners, because mostly I don't know most of them. I can tell you who I guess the Lakers owner is. It's no longer the buses. It's kind of the buses. Steve Ballmer, because he's circumventing the salary cap. We got Tillman here, although he has to acquiesce to his son because he's doing things in Italy now. I know Mickey Arison. Joe Lacob. Is it Vivek in Sacramento?
Yeah,
I know that because of ineptitude.
James Dolan.
James Dolan, of course, longstanding. You've got the guy who owns the Commanders and the Sixers. Forgot his name. Josh something.
Josh Harris?
Josh Harris, I think. And that
Jerry Reinsdorf, Bulls.
He's still there with the Bulls?
Yeah,
okay.
Still kicking.
All right. I'm trying to think if I can get past
The Benson family owns the Pelicans.
Orlando, I don't know who they're owned by.
Oh, Ishbia.
Yeah, of course. So maybe I get to double digits, maybe. But I'm going to have to throw Jamie Gertz as my top owner. Because even though the NBA said cut it out, that Magic City stuff, who showed up courtside with a Magic City sweatshirt on? Jamie Gertz. She's the owner of the Hawks, famous Hollywood actress. You might know her from Twister. You might know her as the too attractive wife in Still Standing, the CBS sitcom, because that was their vibe back in the early 2000s, was just pair an attractive woman with a guy you think couldn't get her in real life, and we'll stay on the air for six seasons. That's kind of what they're about. King of Queens, Still Standing, there are others. She was there. T.I. was there. People were wearing unofficial and official Magic City gear. And the most important thing is the Hawks won, who the Rockets will see here eventually in the next couple of games. Hawks have won 10 in a row. The thing about the Hawks is we knew that stat where over the course of like 6 years, there are 500 points scored were even, all those things. The Hawks are the only team who could go win 9 in a row and not move up in the standings. They've gotten to 10 in a row, so now they moved up to 8th. But they started off as the 9th seed in the East when their winning streak started and stayed there. It's a Hawks stat if there ever was one.
I saw something where it's like 9 games ago, the Hawks were in the 9th seed. They won all 9 games.
They're still
in the 9th seed.
It's a Hawks stat if there ever was one.
I guess they're just so far behind. But God.
Yeah, but in the East, 9 games and you don't move up a spot. You have to win your 10th?
I'm trying to think. Who's like the 8th seed that...
Well, it fluctuated.
Is it like the Raptors?
Because the Raptors were like a 5 and then
they
dropped.
They fell,
And the Sixers were up there, then they dropped. The Heat moved up, but then they lose to the Magic, so they dropped. So there are enough teams ahead of them, but still, 9 wins in a row.
One of them should have dropped.
How do you not move up a spot? Somehow, some way, the East, unfortunately for the Hawks, the Heat had won 7 in a row until they lost. The Magic had won 7 in a row until the Hawks beat them. So there were teams ahead of them that are winning games, and as I mentioned, the Sixers and the Raptors were far enough ahead that even as their seasons were turning, although the Raptors have won their last couple, and so have the Sixers, that there was still enough room for the Hawks not to move up. But now they're in 8th, and they will come to Houston as a hot basketball team, which is cool because that's what the Rockets need, another team playing really, really well.
Do they play – I'm looking. If the Hawks – no, they play the Mavericks. I was hoping this would – we would get them in the Magic City letdown spot.
Ah.
You know, such emotional night. For
Nikhil Alexander Walker went for 41 in honor of Lou Williams.
Yeah, and really just the Atlanta community.
Of course.
I was hoping that, you know, the Rockets could profit a little bit off of the sleepy start because, you know, their whole season was tied up in March 16th.
Unfortunately, you don't get that.
No.
The Mavericks do.
Yeah.
So we'll see if the Mavericks, who they beat the crap out of someone I didn't think they were going to a couple of days ago. Oh, take it back. I saw them get their ass kicked by the Hornets, or excuse me, the Pelicans. They did beat a team I didn't think they would beat a couple nights ago, but last night they got drilled by the New Orleans Pelicans. And I'm not going to laugh because the Rockets were on the verge of losing to the Pelicans too until the Pelicans threw the ball away a couple times. Can't believe that could have been a loss too. Then how would we feel if the Pelicans had come in here and won a game?
That's why I just survive in advance against the Pelicans. Like, just
because look what happens the next check, time they're out there.
Whatever.
Yeah, you'll take it however you can get it. Let's get to Keith here. What's up, Keith?
Hey, Dale. Hey, Sean. I'm sure you probably saw the news just now. Your Dolphins just shipped off Jalen Waddle to the Broncos.
Thanks for the alert. I did not see it.
Yep. Three picks head to Miami, a first, a third, and a fourth. Broncos get Jalen Waddle and a fourth in this year's draft. The Dolphins' wide receiver depth chart at the moment sits Malik Washington, Tutu Atwell, and I believe Jalen Tolbert from the Cowboys. So pretty thin, almost feels like a guarantee the Dolphins are going to use a first on a wide receiver. But what will you remember most about the Jalen Waddle era, and what do you think of all of these Dolphin departures with the new regime? And thanks, guys.
So this one, of all the departures, this one actually bothers me. Not in the way that, I'm going to be heartbroken, but I did like Jalen Waddle as a player. He was still pretty young. I think he was 27 years old. So that's a guy that maybe after a year of being bad, you could possibly have that guy be a part of your future. He's very expensive for a guy who, since 2023 hasn't put up the numbers that would represent the type of contract he was getting. So I get why it's done. You get a first round pick and you're in the middle of a rebuild, and we will see what they do. They got two first round picks, more money to push into next season. And here is the official trade. The Dolphins receive the Broncos 30th pick, which is their first rounder, and pick 94 in 2026. The Broncos receive Jalen Waddle, a 2026 pick upgrade from 130 to 131. So that is the fourth rounder the Broncos get in exchange for sending a first and a fourth the Dolphins way and a third. So just a pick swap in the fourth round in 2026. So it was a move that the Bills tried to get in on around the trade deadline. They held on to Jalen Waddle, and they wound up getting a first and a third for a guy who I guess they decided the new regime thought it wasn't a part of their future enough to turn down this type of draft compensation. So I get why the move was made. You're not going to be good. You don't want to pay a receiver who by the time you think you might be good, he might be 29 years old, and you make a move. And the Dolphins, Braz has said they want to get bigger at that position. He's another guy. You heard Keith list off all the guys. Outside of Jalen Tolbert, and maybe Theo Weiss, who was an undrafted free agent who got some time late, they got a bunch of like 5'9 and under guys like Tutu Atwell, Malik Washington. Jalen Waddle was the big guy at 5'10. They wanted more size at the position. You get a first rounder out of the deal, cool. And the Broncos, you start to look at who they are, because if we're talking about it from a Texans perspective, who they're competing against, the Broncos now have a speed guy that can run more routes than Marvin Mims can run. I mean, if you look at their roster as a whole, there was an absence of a big-time receiver. They may do with what they had. The question is, does Bo Nix become a guy who can take advantage of Jalen Waddle? Did he ask me what my favorite memory was? There was a game against the Packers that was, funnily enough, the game that knocked Tua out of the 2022 season. It was an early touchdown where Waddle caught like an over, and he about 10 yards, 15 yards down the field, turned it to like an 80-yard touchdown. That was when we were like having fun as a Dolphin fan, watching that offense go to work with Tyreek and Tua and Jalen Waddle. Things have changed quite a bit since. All of them are gone. Think about that. The team that scored 70 points against the Broncos, none of the main guys from that team exists. Just a couple seasons later, Tua gone, Tyreek gone, Jalen Waddle gone. Achane remains for now. Achane remains for now. If they can get a second or two, a second and a third for Achane, he'd probably go too, because he's up for a contract extension coming up here shortly. But you do what you got to do once you're in a rebuild. Jalen Waddle's not one of their guys, and Achane wouldn't be one of their guys either. Malik Willis, good luck, buddy. Time to prove yourself. Throwing the ball to Tutu Atwell.
Yeah. Do you think Malik Willis is like, what just happened?
I think he's just happy to be a starting quarterback. Yeah. But he's like, is this better than the Tennessee situation?
He's like, wait, how much is guaranteed? All right.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I think he'll work it out. I think he'll be fine. And I imagine maybe they'll use some of that draft capital to get a bigger, cheaper receiver in the first round. So you can throw – not that they didn't already need a receiver, but you can definitely throw that on.
They need one more.
Yeah. So maybe whatever you thought was going to happen at 11, I think – as far as maybe a defensive end or a corner, maybe they push that back to 30 if they love a receiver that they like at 11. So that is the big news. I did not see that because we were too busy lamenting the Rockets. The trade's still coming. It helps when you got a team trying to rebuild. They start selling off assets. I would think if we're talking about value for Jalen Waddle, who's coming off a year where he did catch 6 touchdowns, but under 1,000 yards, only 64 receptions. The average, not bad. I think if you're getting a first and a third, and of course you drop down in the fourth round, you lose a couple spots, you'll do that. The Broncos needed a receiver, and the Dolphins were looking to accrue assets. So
yeah.
I don't, as far as trade value, I'm sure there's people looking into it. I get why the Dolphins did it. It's just, oh man, another good player gone. Yeah.
And the Broncos now are like, I don't know really how to describe it. It's like a good offense that doesn't have like a superstar on it.
Yeah, because Jalen Waddle's a good player, but he's not really a number one.
Yeah,
he's probably a good two.
Same thing with Cortland Sutton, where I'm like, yeah, he's like, oh, he's A1, but I'm not sure he's like, you know, top 10 receiver in the league. And then obviously you got Bo Nix, you got the running backs where it's like kind of a jumble of, yes, like,
it feels like just
role
a bunch
players.
Of twos and threes all together. Yeah. And Sean, like, Payton's got to make it work.
But then I think about, like, you know, Sutton, Waddle, I guess Franklin, and like, you know, that's like not bad. Like, that's definitely like a pretty good.
I mean, they're defense,
receiving core.
And if not for an injury, they probably make the AFC title game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, they win the AFC. They were in the AFC title game. If not for an injury, they make the Super
yeah.
Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, they lost that game like 10-7. Like, yeah, they're an interesting team. Sean Payton's really, really weird. I mean, he's not weird. Actually, he's very easy to understand. He's kind of a jerk to everybody.
Sure.
But he can coach it up. He can coach them up. Their team I'm very interested in because they seem like kind of a sure thing to be back in, you know, relative contention. But at the same time, they don't have any superstars on offense, so I could very easily see like a bogged down, like this offense is kind of a mess, or it's, you know, less than some of their parts, maybe a little bit of 2024 Houston Texans, where they go out and they add Stephon Diggs to a team, and you're like, Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, and Tank Dell, like, this offense is going to be lighting it up, and you still are kind of depending on Bo Nix and the offensive line to hold up with a subpar running game like that Texans team.
Yeah, so as the rebuild continues for the Dolphins, anybody want Achane? We'll see if a contender really wants a explosive running back. It'll cost you probably maybe 2 day 2 picks. You probably don't get a first rounder for a running back, considering you got to then go pay Achane. I'm sure an extension comes along with trading for him. But if we're talking about guys who can swing a game, he is one of the best out there. And if a contender really needs a guy who can go score touchdowns, he would be a guy that you would love to have. So we'll see as the weeks continue and this offseason continues. If another big move is made, a contender gets an explosive player, just another AFC team getting a little stronger. So there it is, first and third. Pretty much for Jalen Waddle. We'll see what's next as this off season continues. We'll go to break with that. Thanks for the call, Keith, because I had not checked the latest news, and there it is. And all the opinions are already in on the
do
move.
We have a grade?
Yeah, quite a hefty price I saw.
Okay.
For the Broncos to give that up.
I want to know what Barnwell thinks.
I'm sure he will have a report on that as the Denver Broncos acquire.
It's like Jalen Waddle. He's going to turn 30 anyway. Eventually, he was going to turn 30. Might as well trade him.
Yeah, I know. At some point, he'll get to 30. It's the law. It's how aging works. He'll be 30 at some point. Might as well trade him now. So
trade him while you can get a first.
Jordan Schultz is reporting that the Broncos wanted to make this move at the deadline. Couldn't get it done. The Dolphins had an interim GM at the time. Now they have a guy who was locked in. He can make all the decisions. And
he can decide to tear it down.
Yeah, if he wants to. An interim GM can't really make that move. So when you get a guy who's full-time in the job, you get moves like this. And the Broncos get a little better. We'll see how it all works with Sean Payton and Elbow Knicks. All right, we'll go to break with that. Thank you for that, Keith. 713-780-3776. Anyone else out there want to break news to us? We welcome it. We didn't even get to do the horn. We're still yelling about the Rockets, unfortunately. They had won the game, we would have been able to break that news to you. Instead, Keith does it for us. All right, we'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
So we don't get our All-USA final. Italy loses to Venezuela, 4-2 the final there. Jose Altuve was at the game, rooting on his countrymen. The WBC gets what they want. They get a passionate Latin American fan base versus the USA in a winner-take-all game. I think if we're talking about how well this could have worked out, of course, when the DR is on the same side as the US, you get that semifinal, great. You might have wanted the DR in the final or Japan. But
yeah, it's Japan's fault, really. They had a free ride. You know, they didn't have to play DR or US.
It's true.
And tripped up against Altuve-less Venezuela.
Yeah. Once again, Ohtani doesn't come through. I know he struck out Trout last time, but whatever. It's Mike Trout.
That's last time.
Yeah. What about now? That was 3 years ago. So we get Venezuela versus the U.S. It should be fun. There was a moment after the game. All the Venezuelan fans were, I don't know what you would call, I guess, where the concessions are. I'm sure there's a word for that. That's slipping my mind.
Concourse.
Yeah, that's a good word for it. The concourse. Not just a good word for it. I think that's just what it's called. The concourse. And they were chanting over there was a din of just celebration. There's also was the chant, "We ate pizza," I believe. It was either "we ate pizza" or "we ate pasta." It was pick whatever generic Italian food you think was what they were saying. They were saying it as they were celebrating the win. And honestly, it really should be "we ate gobble ghoul," because this wasn't like actual Italians they beat, except for like two. It was instead of that traditional Italian dish, pick the bastardization that we do to capicola. I believe that's the actual word, gabagool. Not we, Italian Americans.
We.
I would never, because what am I doing walking around quoting The Sopranos by saying gabagool? But yeah, that's what it was. They beat a bunch of Italian Americans in a WBC semifinal to get to the final where they face other Americans for a chance. What do they say if they beat us? What's the food of choice for Americans? The morning show said corn dogs. They could go there because that's uniquely American.
Probably burgers, hot dogs.
They probably would say that. I wonder when, because you have to think, because a lot of our foods are just based off of foods from around the world.
Yeah.
Maybe even burgers.
Apple pie?
We ate apple pie. Maybe.
But that's
as American as apple pie.
Yeah.
If they're going to choose one, it might be apple pie. That's not a bad call. Hot dogs.
I think hot dogs, corn dogs, hamburgers are like American food. Like that is, even though they're whatever, all influenced.
Yeah.
But it is like, that's kind of where
it lands. Like what you're serving
that's
on July
4th. They think we eat all day.
Yeah. Like people outside of Texas think Texans wear cowboy hats and buckles, and some people do. Some people cosplay that at the rodeo.
Yeah.
The rodeo has new rules in place because of all the things that have gone.
People can't act right.
Yeah, people can't. Pretty much, it's the can't act right rules, and they think the attire will change some of the way people act. Like, wear longer shorts. Don't have obvious gang-affiliated tattoos showing or attire that might suggest you're part of a less-than-stand-up organization. Things like that to try to keep people from acting in the wrong way. Man, Who would have suspected that Lena Hidalgo started this all when she got when she had her issues? Don't think she did. It's just happy coincidence that we started with a public official having a problem, and then it filtered on to the regular old people who had problems, and now the rodeo has to put rules in place in the middle of the rodeo.
They can't, at least they can't do, hey, no caps, right?
That's true. If you did that, there'd be some real questions. Cowboy hats, fine.
Cowboy hats.
Ball caps.
No ball cap.
Out. Then they'd have to answer why. Why
no are you picking sneakers on us? Either.
Yeah. David Stern is running the rodeo. The ghost of David Stern is implementing rules.
And a bar owner. They just get a bar owner.
Yeah. Who picks and chooses what type of people he wants and what type of attire he wants. Hey, I love a cowboy boot, but not Jordan's. Or pick any other shoe you'd like if you don't want to be controversial. But there it is. We've got the WBC final. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm not rooting for anyone because John this morning was like, you know what? Let Venezuela win because they care about it more than us. I'm not rooting for anyone, but if Venezuela wins, I think it'll be more fun. Like if the U.S. wins, it falls in the line of, hey, look at that.
I mean,
we won an Olympic medal in figure skating.
Oh, I mean, we have a chance for the trifecta. We can Olympic basketball. We can hockey.
And now baseball.
And now the closest thing to Olympic baseball.
Yeah.
I guess that we'll have to defend this title
in the Olympics.
A year and a half.
It's like when the U.S. women win in the World Cup. They didn't win last time, but win in the World Cup and then win an Olympic gold.
Yeah.
We need to
dominate. We need to, and flag football in the next Olympics.
Sorry, I take my cues from the guys playing. Like, while they're playing, they want to win, but they're not all that motivated. Bryce Harper. He set a tone.
Paul Skeens was motivated because he almost joined the military. I love how they played that up.
I did see that.
He almost joined the military. I was like, okay.
He wanted to be a fighter pilot at 6'6", however tall he is.
Yeah, and instead he became a millionaire baseball player.
I wonder what decided that. But he does have connections, and that has been part of the conversation, how much his ties to the military are pushing him forward because he's very patriotic. And sure, understand. I just thought it's an interesting approach, but they did it. Patriotism, although the team itself, not that patriotic about this event, unless they win.
They're businesslike.
I do. Of course, I know that they want to win.
Yeah.
But the emotions are like, this is fun. But I don't think they're living and dying with this stuff.
No,
they're happy to be there. They want to win.
Yeah, they're
got the colors on. Yeah,
it. They're just not slamming their bat and like running out of the dugout to hug each other. Like they're just whatever. It's Gunnar Henderson and Bryce Harper.
Yeah, I wonder if
it's kind of not what those kind of guys do.
I wonder if when I watch the Latin American fans as they celebrate, do they feel like Major League Baseball, like when they're not rooting on their countrymen tied together by a uniform, do they look at Major League Baseball as like almost a different sport?
Yeah, when like this Venezuelan fan who watches like Ronald Acuna in Venezuelan gear, then watches the Atlanta Braves plays,
and Ronald Acuna will be criticized if he acted in the same way he does for Venezuela consistently. It would not be, we know it's not baseball-like to do some of the things that are happening, but you let it go. But we see some of the guys who go back and play in their domestic leagues when in the MLB offseason, maybe not throughout the league, but they'll sometimes play. And even just watching those leagues, it's completely different. It's more in line with what we see from the WBC, of course. And it's almost like college football and NFL are two different sports. It feels like the same way when I watch the WBC. And it's all about what's going on off the field as opposed to what's going on. And, of course, the guys celebrating when they do things. The fact that we can time home run trots in a way where they're like getting from home the first sometime is longer than the guys getting from home to home in a regular season baseball game. Crazy stuff.
Yeah, they probably are just like, wait, they just, Ronald Acuna just like had a walk-off single. Why are they not... They're celebrating less than...
Why are they not losing their minds?
Yeah, when he had an RBI double in the fourth inning of a WBC game.
It's got to be... I'm sure they're used to it because a lot of their players have been playing in major leagues for a long time
that's
now.
That's older than the WBC.
Yeah, certainly. So they've seen it, but it is just... different vibes all around. The American players have talked about it. But the Americans have done what they're supposed to do. They've made a final. And if they follow what their countrymen did in the Olympics, and their and the women certainly did as well, go win it. And if you don't, much like if we had lost the Olympic gold in hockey, I'm like, oh, okay, that happened.
Dang.
Oh, that sucks. Let's. What else is coming up?
Yeah, then, okay. You know,
is there an NBA game I can watch before I go to bed?
These guys are healthy. Now get back to West Palm Beach.
It really is part of the equation. How many Major League Baseball fans, like the Pirate fans, of course, no arm injury to Paul Skeens, although we should play this from John Smoltz, who's concerned about that for Paul Skeens. We'll get to that before we go to break. But it's a lot about, yeah, this is cool, but you know what? If they had lost in the semifinals, that would have been cool too, because my guy would have been back and not injured. And Paul Skeens, one of the stars of this team and the stars of Major League Baseball, he was on the mound, of course, as the U.S. was working their way to winning the semifinal. And John Smoltz and Joe Davis were on the call. Here's John Smoltz with a somewhat ominous aside about Paul Skeens and his future.
Yeah, all I can think of is, what's the tallest guy to be in a cockpit?
That was going to be a problem.
Back to the top in Tatis. Skeens is 6'6", 260 pounds. I just hope this young man can stay healthy and defeat the odds of every pitcher in the big leagues that throws like him that usually ends up getting something, an injury. I hope he can stay healthy and pitch for 10, 12 years and set all kinds of records. Tatis with one away, takes inside. Going into his third year with the Pirates. He'd love to see the Pirates build a little more around the Pirates. And they made some moves this offseason.
And then they get into how the Pirates don't compete. John, happy thoughts. Yeah, Paul Skeens is out there representing the country, pitching well. Hey, let's not bring reality into the to the equation. We'll save that for June and during baseball if you're calling a game. Let's not talk about our stars that way.
Yeah, Debbie Downer.
Yeah.
Like, just be like,
in the middle of us.
Man, he pitches crazy. You know what that means.
He's not long for this world when it comes to his arm. I mean, John, tamp it down.
Come on.
I don't know if Rob Manfred can make a call like Adam Silver did. Apparently, Jeff Van Gundy is no longer on NBA games because he's too negative. Hey, get Rob Manfred on the horn. Hey, John. I know the reality. You know the reality. But let's not throw a timeline on. Let's not start a countdown clock for Paul Skeens' injuries while we're celebrating the World Baseball Classic.
Having John Smoltz call the World Baseball Classic is funny because what we're saying with like how the Dominican team and the Venezuelan team and all the Latin American team, how they celebrate and how much joy they have, and then you have John Smoltz
wouldn't have liked that.
I'll throw a slider here. That's like most of it.
Yeah, it's like really, like we need a Gus Johnson type.
Yeah, like
who's the Gus Johnson of baseball?
Yeah, Joe Davis is like meh, whatever.
Yeah,
and like, but Smoltz is just like, be a real shame if he blew out his arm.
Yeah, I mean, in history,
real shame.
History suggests he's next. I mean, come on. He's like, how old is Paul Skeens? He's 23. John, please let him get to 26 before we start having those thoughts. I mean, you're not wrong. We just would ask that you not bring it up.
Whatever.
John Smoltz, he's like Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley's like, man, I really hope the Lakers don't win. I got to hear about it. John Smoltz's version is like, maybe they need to get Paul out of here.
It's going to be a tough 18 months when his elbow finally pops.
I mean, he's only got so many pinches left in that arm. Maybe they need to pull him out of the game right now.
Pirates better win this year.
I know. Well, man, they really need to get things together because Paul ain't going to be around in 18 months. All right. I mean, it's reality. We certainly know about it here.
The 2-1 to Tatis.
I know. Joe Davis has to move on. Thanks for that, John. You didn't really set me up, but it's a really big pitch in this at bat. And look at that. Paul Skeens' arm still working. And we'll.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.